at faith and how God grows our faith and challenges our faith and stretches our faith. This morning, I'd like to talk with you about how in some ways God personalizes our faith. We've jumped around in the story so that it's not been chronological. We're actually going to go back earlier in the story of the birth of Jesus to Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. There's an interesting statement in here that God makes that I want us to think about this morning as we consider our relationships with God. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in a town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Before I read any further, I want to take just a moment to have you reflect with me on the angel's words to Mary. The reason why we're doing that is, first of all, because when God speaks to us, or anyone really, we should listen. It's very important. But second of all, you'll notice that Mary was troubled, greatly troubled, by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, there could have been a lot of reasons why she was troubled. One is that, when somebody comes to you and says, you are really good at what you do. There's a part inside of you that's like, what do you want? You're about to ask me for something, aren't you? You're about to ask me to do something, aren't you? And maybe that's what Mary was feeling. The Bible doesn't tell us. It just says that she was troubled. Or maybe it was because an angel visited at all. She's wondering what in the world's going on. But the scripture says that God made sure that the angel said, "Greetings, you who are," what are the words? "Highly favored." Those words should make us think for just a minute. If you were to look in other places in the world and ask the question, what does it mean for someone to be favored? What does that mean? For example, if you're in a sporting event and one team is favored over another, what does it mean? It means that other people think that that team's better than the other, right? And that they're more likely to win. They're favored. They think that they're going to, in a competition head on, the team that's favored is going to win. They're favored. If you're in a different situation, maybe it's not a competition. Maybe it's a situation in which two people are simply working next to each other. Maybe two sons and a father has a favored one. What does that mean? Hello? Likes one better than the other? It could be that. Maybe gets along better with one than the other? Yeah. If you look in the Bible, you'll find that the meaning to be favored means several different things. One meaning to be favored is that you are, in fact, in a better relationship with one than another. So what does it mean that God came to Mary and say that you're highly favored? Some people, when they read this passage, say that she's favored because she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. In other words, she's favored because of the task that she was given. In other words, it could have been any of us, but because Mary got picked, she was favored because it's a privilege to do this. When I was in elementary school, the teacher tried to convince us that you were favored. You were special if you got chosen to go out and clap the erasers. I think you had a little Huck Finn thing going on there. You know? You're really special if you get to paint the fence. I'm not certain that the only part of this passage about Mary being favored is that she was asked to do something special for God. Because you see, there are other places in the scripture where God picks people and they have his favor. God has different relationships with people over the course of scripture. You look at it and you read it, and sometimes it makes you wonder, why do they have this relationship? For example, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and then he just disappeared from the earth. It doesn't say that a lot of other people walked with God the way that Enoch did. The Bible says, and this is a hard one too, God loved Jacob, but hated Esau. The Bible says that God had a special relationship with David. He was the apple of his eye, the Bible says. On the other hand, God had this weird relationship with Samson. He gave Samson the strength and used him in all this way, but Samson didn't seem to have any kind of a special relationship with God himself, and then he largely ignored God. There's no real sense in which he prayed a lot or read God's word or communicated with him in any way. And what I want you to think with me about this morning is this. While God is the same, God is so much bigger than us that he has the ability to have different kinds of relationships with each one of us. And that shouldn't really be strange to us. But we don't always think like that. People say this to me all the time, and I know what they mean. Some of you may have said it. I get this all the time, especially when I'm out in the community. I say, well, preacher, say a prayer for the weather this week, because you got connections. And I'm like, really? So you think that if I get down on my knees right now, not that this hasn't happened in the Bible, it has, right? But you think that if I get down on my knees right now, that I'm going to be able to bring in a blizzard so that you can have a 3-day weekend. Is that what you're thinking? And the answer is yes. Literally, I had a person say to me, when we were supposed to get that snow on a Friday, they said to me on Monday, I should have called you on Friday. I really wanted that long weekend. I know you got that connection with God. And I thought to myself, look, my connection to God has nothing to do with me being a pastor. Isn't that shocking? My connection to God has everything to do with how I relate with God himself. It's not a title. Mary was given a title. And the title she was given was Mother of the Son of God. But you and I need to take a moment to recognize that there's something about God in which God relates to us differently. In part, by the way, that we're gifted. I don't know about you, but there are some people that I feel naturally close to because we like the same things. I can form close connections with people who like football. I have a harder time with the quilting thing. You know, I would have a hard time just sitting there for an hour kibitzing about how we can cut squares and knit. I almost said knit them together. Isn't that? That just reveals it all, doesn't it? It would be a struggle for me to do that. On the other hand, I can and do talk for hours with people about what you see in the woods this past week. And my wife is like, snore. You know, she finds no joy in that at all. But I love, you know, somebody come, look, the other day I was driving past this, I saw these huge scrapes in this big pine field, and I'm just like, yeah, where is that, man? Let's talk about that. And other people are like, Lord, how can you talk about that stuff for hours? That is so boring. And then there are baseball fans. People who like baseball, who can talk about every pitch, and I'm just like, that is not me. I mean, I can watch an occasional baseball game, but I am not a connoisseur of baseball. And you know, there are things within us that make our heart race, that makes God's heart race. And there are things inside of us that we really passionately care about that God doesn't care a whip about. He cares about it only because He cares about us. And the more stuff in our lives that we have in which we connect with God, I'm not talking about starting a relationship with God. I'm talking about people who are in a relationship with God. There is a naturalness to some of the connection with God. And the Bible says that because of this, we won't all have the same relationship with God. Some people will have a natural ability just to talk with God. Some people will have a natural ability to dream with God. Some people's dreams have nothing to do with God. Their dreams about life and where they want to be and where they want to go just have nothing to do with God. And other people's do. I remember I was at a conference with a head of World Vision. He spoke, and he talked about traveling to different places in the world and meeting children who are in desperate need, and how he would come back to the States and pray. And I thought, you know, if I were God, and I had to watch those children suffering every day, I would love it if somebody sat down and had a conversation with me about the hurting children in the world. And I wonder how many people have that conversation with God, who passionately care about the fact that there are orphans who go to bed every night without a mom or dad. But there are people in the world that passionately care about that. They sit up and they think about it at night, they dream about it, and that touches God's heart, and they have a connection point with God, which is very sweet. There are some people who have the ability to use a hammer or to knit something that can be a huge blessing to God. And as they're working, as they share that talent, they have an ability to connect with God that others who don't have that. There are some people who have a deep ability to share about God. They have an ability to naturally talk about who God is and how God works in this world. And they have a different way to connect with God. There are some people who have an ability to lead others, and they have another way to connect with God. There are some people who have the ability to suffer with God, and through that suffering, they connect with God in a different kind of way. We're not told why Mary had this favor with God. It doesn't say. One thing that we do know about Mary was this. The Bible says that she watched all that was happening around him, and she pondered these things in her heart. She was reflecting regularly on what she saw and what God was doing. And she made connection points within her. God said he was going to do that. And then the Bible says she treasured them. It was as though she was creating an internal scrapbook of pictures of the things that God was doing. And she was collecting them in a collection within her, saying, this is special because God has done this. She treasured the work that God had done around her and in her family. I think the Bible says to us two things that are so significant about our relationship with God. And that's this. The first is there are some people that God will choose to be close to. There are some people that God will choose to be close to. God selected, Jesus on this earth selected 12 men that he was going to walk around with and teach everything about. He said, I'm going to be closer to you than the people that are just in the crowds. And then there were three from among those 12 that Jesus pulled to the side, and he said, I'm going to show you things that I'm not going to show the others. I'm going to be close to you in a way that I'm not close to the others. And there are times when God will choose people and say, I'm going to be close to you. Moses got to see the back of God himself. He couldn't see his face, he'd die, but he got to see the very back of God. You and I have little to do with God choosing. We don't always understand why God chooses. The Bible isn't clear about it, but there are some people that God chooses to be very close to him. But there's another whole side to this. And that's this. There are some who will choose to be close to God. And some that won't. You see, Mary, when she was told this, the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and will reign on Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end. And Mary asks the question, how will this be? And the angel describes that the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born within you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. And Mary's response was this, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. And Mary said to God, after he laid out the plan, I'll do it. You see, God picked her, but she also chose to be close to God. The Bible says to us that we have the ability to choose to be close to God. Now, that may not sound revolutionary, but it really is. See, because when we look, there's a part inside of us that says, Billy Graham is Billy Graham because God made Billy Graham to be Billy Graham, right? He picked him. And God made Mother Teresa to be Mother Teresa. And underneath it all, we say, and I will never, ever be that. Because God picked them to do that. And that's true. On the other hand, one of the reasons why God picked them to do that was that they regularly said, I'm available. I'm willing. I'll do what you ask me to do even when I don't understand. I'll go even though I don't know what I'm doing or where I'm headed. I'll spend the time to listen to you regularly. You see, God's first picture of his relationship with us is so simple. It's Adam and Eve and God walking through the garden in the cool of the day. You ask the question, how would God spend a day with you? The earliest picture we have of God is that he simply wanted to take a walk with his kids. And the Bible says that over and over again, God invites us to a moment like that. And regularly, you and I are too busy to go for a walk. Let me just ask you a very simple question. When's the last time you put down everything you had to do and did something as simple as go out and take a walk? When's the last time? Because there's something about something that simple in which you don't have to do anything or be anywhere. You don't have to you're not responsible for anything, where you're just enjoying the world around you and the people that you're with, and investing. And you and I have the opportunity to shape the kind of relationship that we have with God. I have three different kids, and they all interact with me differently. My son likes to karate chop. Right now, he loves to karate chop. Everything is a karate chop. He will jump on me and chop me. He will build swords and come and hit me with them. Everything is a weapon or a ball. It's very boy. Now, my oldest will look at me when we start to get into these things and she'll be like, I don't want any part of that. Now, if she came to me and said, hey, can we wrestle around a bit? I'd be happy to do it. It's just that an 8-year-old girl isn't into that. Abby, on the other hand, Abby's up for anything. Throw her across the room onto the bed, she's happy. Play dolls with her, she's happy. So my son, he comes to me all the time, and he wants about two things. The first is, will you play tag with me, Dad? Dad, will you play tag? Dad? And if you know Micah, the minute he gets into church, or if you're here for the 10:45 service, the minute church is done, can we play tag in the sanctuary, Dad? Can we play tag in church? Can we play tag? Can we play tag? And the second thing Micah wants to do is what he calls blast off beanstalk. And I have no idea how he got this name. But he'll go up to my bed, and he'll go up to the headboard, and he'll run as fast as his little legs will carry him off the edge of the bed, and he will launch himself into the air, and I'm expected to catch him. That's the blast off part. The beanstalk is that I'm supposed to then take him, and I'm supposed to chuck him as hard as I can in the air so that he goes flying and lands back on the bed. His mother knows the name of the game, but she doesn't know really what it is. I'm not sure how we got beanstalk out of the throwing back on, but blast off beanstalk and tag. Those are the two things over and over and over again. Abby, on the other hand, likes to play hide and seek. Yesterday, we played hide and seek, and I could not find her. I started to get scared. I looked everywhere for that kid. And her mother wasn't home. And I'm like, her mother's going to come home and she's going to ask where her daughter is. And I'm going to have lost her kid. So finally, I was walking past the pantry. And I said, I haven't opened the pantry door. And do you know that little squirt had shoved herself underneath the bottom drawer of the pantry and behind the big bag of recycled soda cans? And when I opened the door, the bag of soda cans and all this food just came falling out along with Abby. She started giggling at me. She won't even come out when I call her. I'm like, I give up. She's just quiet as a mouse. She could sit there for hours. Now, here's the thing. Micah is completely not in any way shy about asking for my time. He will bug me. Daddy, can we play tag down? Can we do blast off beanstalk? Can we play soccer? Abby will rarely ask me for anything. 6 months ago, I found that Abby knew how to climb up on the kitchen counter and get a glass for herself out of the cupboard. She'll get a stool and sit it inside the refrigerator so that she can get to the top shelf to get her own stuff out. Sienna will still ask me to go and get her a glass of milk, even though she has no trouble reaching any of it. But she won't ask me to play with her. You know, the funny thing is, my relationship with my kids is as much about what they ask me to do with them as it is me setting up stuff for them and with them. Micah probably plays more Blast Off Beanstalk with me than I sit down and draw with Abby. Because he keeps asking and asking and asking and asking. And after a while, it'll just wear you down. And I don't keep track of minutes or time. And God says to us, you know what? I'm available. And I will come to you. I'll be with you forever. But he says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you ask, I'll respond. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. The Bible tells us in both Colossians 3 and in Philippians 4 that we are supposed to take off all kinds of sinful habits, envy and lust and anger and pride, and that we are to put on all kinds of good things, kindness and gentleness and faithfulness. And Hebrews chapter 12 says to us that we are to lay aside the sin that so easily entangles. It's hard to have a good illustration when your handcuffs are broken. The sin that so easily entangles, we are to lay that aside. And here's what I want to tell you today. Your relationship with God is in part not created by, but grown and developed by your willingness and your passion to interact with God. It isn't all God's responsibility to develop you. You have to have a willing heart, and you must be willing to set aside the things that hold you back. And you must be willing to set aside the time to take walks with God and talk with Him and listen to Him. I'm amazed by people who say, God never speaks to me. And I ask the question, do you ever set aside time to listen? And they say, well, no. Well, maybe that's why. God will have a different relationship with you than He does with me, because I'm a different person and I have different passions and I have different gifts than you do. But my relationship with God is special because it's my relationship with God. You see, if you look at the characters in the Bible, please hear me say this. The people that seemed to have the most special relationship with God were the people that walked with God through some of the toughest stuff. Paul, talk about a relationship with God, but look what he went through. Oh my gosh. Look at the people in the Bible that had close relationships with God. They were willing to walk with God through very difficult stuff. And we can't sit back and say, well, that person has a great relationship with God, and not realize what it takes to get there. It will often take sacrifice and a willingness to just be close to God and to listen. And to understand that God has passions that you may not realize He has. Things that you like that you didn't know that God liked. Mary, the other week when we did the teaching on Mary and Joseph going down to Egypt and coming back up, I asked Nicole Fox if she would be Mary for me. And I invited her to take the long walk home with all her friends who had babies and lost them
because Herod had killed them. And she walked up and she started to tear up. And then I said, and Mary had to take that step of faith because one day she would see that little 2-year-old boy grow up and become crucified on a cross in front of her. And poor Nicole Fox, she just broke down. She just wept on the stage here. Because sitting in the pew over here, it's her little 2-year-old boy. There's something inside of her that suddenly connected, that she understood how Mary must have felt to have walked that journey for God. You will be asked in this life to walk through certain things, not only because it shapes you, but it shapes your relationship with God, and it will be unique because of that. The Bible doesn't say that God loves anyone more than another, for God so loved the world. The Bible says that God does have different kinds of relationships with people, though. And some will be deeper than others. And can I just tell you this? Because this is the part that's got to sink into us. From the perspective of eternity, you and I are going to spend 70 years of our life, 80, 90, give or take some. And then, the nature of our relationships and how we've lived our life have a bearing on eternity. And I don't want you to get to heaven with me and say, you know what, Pastor? You never told me that I spent my whole life chasing money and ignored God. I knew him. I had a relationship with him, but I pretty much ignored him along the way. I didn't read my Bible. I never really prayed. I didn't talk to him. I didn't walk close to him. I knew that Jesus was Son of God. I welcomed him into my life, but I just got busy with life. And I didn't realize that when I came to heaven, I would see how distant I was from God compared to so many other people. Jesus desires that kind of closeness with you and I. But he's not the kind of God who's going to force it on you. Whenever he asks you to do anything, even if it's just being obedient, it's because he cares about you and he favors you. And I want to encourage you today, I want you to think today about how your interaction with God makes a difference in your relationship. If you don't have a relationship with God, it's a whole different deal. That's a whole different. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, if you haven't asked him into your life, if you haven't made that connection with God through Christ, that's where you have to start. But if you have that connection, I want to say to you today, you need to think about what that looks like and how that really operates. Because I've seen this played out in human relationships, and I can tell you that when a husband ignores his wife for 20 years or 30 years and then finishes work and retires, he has a different relationship with his wife than the husband that dates her all along, that helps out around the house, that encourages her, that supports her, and then he retires. And they have a different life together. Some people spend their entire retirement catching up on a relationship that they could have been working on their entire lives. And other people just revel in the fact that they now have the remaining years of their life to share together, where they didn't have the kind of time before, but they had the relationship. It's a special thing that God desires to be close to us. And it's an amazing thing that he knows us. We take that for granted, but one day, I guarantee you, when you see Jesus in all his glory, when you see him with the millions of people that have ever lived, sprawled out in front of his throne, and he knows who you are going to be amazed that that God wants to walk beside you. Let's pray. God, this season of the year is so busy for us. We're baking cookies, and we're getting presents, and we're decorating, and we're going places and doing stuff. And it seems, in many ways, like while we're celebrating stuff for you, we run right past you. But if we're honest, it isn't just a Christmas time. It's easy for us, God, to get into a schedule in life from the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed that's so full of stuff and got so many things going on that even though you're right in the room with us, we barely remember or fail to acknowledge that or talk to you. There are some people that you choose to be close to, God. And there are some people who decide that they want to be desperately close to you. They want to know you. They want to understand you. They want to be like you. Because in the end, what we have in this life that's so important is our relationships. Stuff breaks and gets old. Accomplishments gather dust on the shelf. What we have that's meaningful and lasting are relationships. Help us to invest in our relationship with you, God. Call us to read your word more. Invite us to sit down with a cup of coffee and listen to you and talk to you. Help us to take time to block out an hour every once in a while just to take a walk with you. And as our Heavenly Father, help us to seek and to ask in ways that draw us closer to you. To capture your heart and your attention. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.